You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We got a great show lined up for you. Joe Lisi is going to join me. We're going to talk some college football. Mark Lawrence steps up and in. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk college football. We'll talk NFL football. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, in studio. We'll talk NHL hockey, Major League Baseball, and NFL football. So whatever you're into, we've got you covered. As the Toronto Blue Jays are suddenly close to being back in this series. One win does not make a series, but you've got to get one before you can get four. And I'll tell you what, eight times this year, the Toronto Blue Jays have strung together a four-game winning streak. So the clubhouse knows they can do it. It's a winnable game this afternoon. First pitch in a couple of hours. We'll break it down. The Jays opened up in the 65-70 cent range. It's as high as 85-90 right now in some spots. As everybody's loading up on the Toronto Blue Jays, we'll find out what our guests have to say about that. The Dodgers. I told you the Dodgers are going to beat the Cubs. I said the Dodgers will beat the Cubs in six games. I stand by my prediction. The Dodgers are going to win again today. Interesting pitching matchup tonight with Urias on the hill against John Lackey. Youngest pitcher ever in the history of Major League Baseball to start a postseason game tonight, actually, for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So there's a ton of stuff we're going to be breaking down on the program. Well, at this time of the year, we've got Major League Baseball playoffs. We've got the NFL regular season that's sucking. But nevertheless, you know, there have been some good games on Sunday. It's just the primetime games suck. College football getting real interesting. One by one, man, they're falling on a weekly basis as we're into week eight. NHL season has started. So with everything going on, and oh yeah, that other thing called the election going on, you know, it's almost easy to forget or not to realize that the National Basketball Association regular season is about to tip off. Tips off on Tuesdays, the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers host the New York Knicks. I was going to call them the new look New York Knicks, but considering you got Derrick Rose, and what's the deal with Rose anyways? Like, he's always hurt. Now he's not hurt. He's always in court. I was sort of bullish on the Knicks. Now, no, I'm not bullish on the Knicks because I realize they're basically the injury-prone Chicago Bulls thrown in with Carmelo Anthony, although I do like Porzingis. So the Cleveland Cavaliers, they might be the defending champs, but are they the story coming into the season? No. The Golden State Warriors are what everybody's talking about. And, you know, the Golden State Warriors, as loaded as they are right now, the NFL thinks they got a ratings problem. Like, good example, like next Thursday, we got Tennessee and Jacksonville on the board. The NFL better hope like the Warriors aren't playing the Rockets or something like that. And again, in a basketball game, it's going to be like 248 points put up. So the NBA regular season is ready to tip off in a couple of days. And for those of you that haven't been paying attention to the NBA preseason, what the hell's wrong with you? I'm just kidding. Even I haven't paid attention to the NBA preseason. And you're looking at a man, I bet on the Filipino D-League. Like, for those of you that are unaware, the Philippines Basketball Society follows, like, the NBA. They have, like, the PBA, the Philippine Basketball Association, and they have a D-League. So there's the Filipino D-League. I've bet a lot of money. I've spent countless hours following, watching, crying, and winning, mostly losing, on Filipino D-League basketball. Hell, I bet $800 on the Lingerie Bowl and actually went to the game, and it was like halftime of the Super Bowl. I went to the game live in Vegas, and I actually cared more about the Lingerie Bowl than the Super Bowl did. I was like standing like with my foot on the bench like a coach yelling at the girls and stuff. Come on! Come on, LA! Let's go! Let's go! I won. Great times. You know, they like rolling. You know, even the guy at Mandalay Sportsbook, when I cashed the ticket, he looked down. He's like, $800 on the Lingerie Bowl? He's like, did you know the Super Bowl was today? I'm like, just cash the ticket, all right? Cash the ticket. Basically, I knew the chicks from Philadelphia were partying their asses off in the hotel. But anyways, the Lingerie Bowl is another story, and it was just a reason to get them up, to get some pictures up. You know, we're being honest here. Looks pretty cool, doesn't it? doesn't it? It's great, 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 great times. Just like it'll be great times laying it down on the Golden State Warriors. But even me, and I bet on everything. I didn't even bet on the NBA preseason. I made one NBA preseason bet this year. I won it, and I haven't bet since. And I'm the biggest degenerate that I know, and that you know. And even I'm not betting on it, but I'm following it. And if you're not paying attention, well, if you're wondering, the Golden State Warriors, well, they're 4-1. They lost their first game. They've won four straight. Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are both ranked in the top five in scoring. Steph Curry's only averaging 14 points a game, and something tells me that he'll probably do a little bit better than 14 points a game, although for fantasy players, it's an interesting dynamic as the offense is going to suddenly be Kevin Durant's offense, and that's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Now, the Golden State Warriors are minus 150 to win the NBA championship, and that I've never seen a price like this. Hell, even last year, they weren't like this big of favorites. You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, to put it in perspective, they're plus 300. They're the second choice. Now, there's no value on betting the Golden State Warriors to win at minus 150. Plus, you got to wait till next June. You know, I hate to be morbid about it, but maybe me and some of you watching the show might not even be around next June, all right? So, you really want to be waiting for a ticket to next June? No, but we're going to be around till next May, aren't we? Or at least we hope so. And the Golden State Warriors win total is 66 wins. They're going to win 67 games. Where are the losses going to come from? Who's going to beat these guys 15 times? You know, tell me where. Where are the losses going to come from? You know, they're not going to lose. They'll probably lose 10 games when it's all said and done. They don't have to break the record from last year, and they won't have the same urgency, but they're going to be too damn good to deal with. But there's no lock they're going to win the championship, because in the postseason, you can get away with things and play much more physical than you can in the regular season. So why lay minus 150 to win a championship when there's no lock they're going to win a championship, when you can get even money to win 66 games when it's a damn lock that they're going to put on a show like the Harlem Globetrotters and the NBA and the referees are going to encourage it. Take the Golden State Warriors to win more than 66 games. You'll be glad you did. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, we got a busy show today. Game Time Decisions. We are live a couple hours from first pitch, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Cleveland Indians. I like afternoon baseball. I'm down with playoff baseball. But it's interesting. The Blue Jays just, they don't get night games, do they? And I totally get it. Like, you know, you got Chicago and L.A. And, you know, I'd reach for the Dodgers hat, but there's someone walking around the streets of Toronto right now wearing a Dodgers hat. Shouldn't be wearing it. All right, so we got a great show, though. It's like a law firm, Lawrence, Lisi, and Stewart. Except Cam is the type of dude that needs a lawyer, not that would be a lawyer. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, joins us. Mark, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Great, Gabe. I like to say I graduated right at the top of my class at law school, but I didn't even go to college, so that would be impossible.
You know what? You went to the University of Street Savvy. Mark.
Street Savvy, a division of Hard Knocks. Exactly right.
Yeah, that's it. Same with me. I'm an alum of the Hard Knocks, Hard Knocks Academy as well. So let's get down to business, Mark, because I want to get to a couple of sports. Afternoon baseball is pretty cool, actually. I don't have a problem with it. If you're a kid, you skip school, you're going to the games. You know, afternoon baseball actually feels like playoff baseball, doesn't it? But it does put some fans in a tough spot. But as a gambling man, I like the action during the day, so I don't have a problem with it.
I like it both ways. I mean, growing up as a kid, you had afternoon baseball games. That was back when you had doubleheaders that were day-night doubleheaders. So it was fun to attend those. It was an all-day affair, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, and I love it for baseball playoffs.
All right, so we've got the Tribe and the Jays. Pretty high number right now, Mark. The Jays seem to have a little bit of momentum right now after last night, but Cleveland didn't use their they didn't use their bullpen. They didn't use Miller. They didn't they didn't use Cody Allen. So they clearly sort of, Francona was in the game, and then he sort of conceded the game late. They're going to have a more aggressive approach today, without a doubt. Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, these guys are going to be used. I guess the real X factor here is Ryan Merritt, isn't he, Mark? Making his postseason debut, 4 appearances during the regular season, 11-8 at Columbus.
I'm from Cleveland, and I don't even know who the guy is. I mean, it's, you know, totally out of the clouds for him to make a start like this in the baseball playoffs. But he had other options. He had other choices. He had Clevinger he could have gone to. He could have gone to Zach McAllister, even if he wanted to, a former starter. But he believes in this kid. This kid made one start, was pretty good in that one start. I think it was a 1.64 ERA he came up with in that one start. So bottom line here is Tito has confidence in this kid, in Merritt, and so do I as a Cleveland Indians fan.
You know, I love you got the Indian. You're on the bandwagon all the way, Mark. You know, I got to tell you, man, as I'm wearing a Toronto Raptor hoodie right now, Mark, I'm getting pretty tired of Cleveland beating Toronto, to be honest.
Yeah, it's sort of a northern border type rivalry war going on here. And, you know, I think Toronto's had their way a time or two with Cleveland in the past. But right now, you know, this is all about getting back to the World Series. You've been there. You've won it more recently than Cleveland has. So it's our turn.
You know what? And I should mention, I'm not a Blue Jay fan, but I am a Raptor fan. But one thing with Merritt is, you know, it seems like the public's jumping on this, Mark. I think as Joe Sixpack looks at the pitchers and goes, Merritt, who the hell's this guy? And then they look it up and they're like, oh my God, they're using a guy from Columbus. And you know perception. And you and I both know, Mark, win-loss records for a AAA pitcher are meaningless, right? But you know that a lot of people are going to look and see, oh my God, he's a AAA guy. He was only 11-8. Like Clevinger was like 11-1 or something like that. So he had those numbers, you know, that impressed people. This kid, only 11-8, comes here, but I'll make an argument, Mark, that it's tougher on the Blue Jay hitters right now. They don't know what this kid's stuff is, and it's incredibly difficult for them now.
It's really difficult because you don't have any film or whatnot on him. You know, you'd rather have something to base it off, have your scouts have numbers on this guy, but they don't. And, you know, I think without the pressure being there on him, and I'm saying without the pressure because they're up 3-1, if this was an elimination game for Cleveland, he'd feel all sorts of pressure. It's not there here in this baseball game. I think the pressure, once again, is on the Toronto Blue Jays in this contest.
And I know you love the ugly dogs, Mark, although there ain't nothing ugly about the way the Tribe have been playing. But, man, it's up to minus 85 cents right now. It's just too high, isn't it?
Like, it's a big, big number. It shouldn't be this high, especially, I think it's a press situation number, given the fact that Toronto's back is to the wall. This is a kid that nobody knows about from Cleveland here. I think it's impacted the number here. You might even see this game go off at $2 at some sports books by the time the game's ready to throw that first pitch. But again, it's way, way overvalued, way overpriced, and I think the value here has to go to the Tribe.
One thing that we should note, that the under's 4-0 in this series.
Well, that you know, if it ends up being 5-0, I think that would work to Cleveland's favor because these Toronto bats, which finally came alive in the last game, have got to do that if they have any chance whatsoever of advancing to the next game.
All right, we've got the Cubs and the Dodgers. I called it upset before the series started, although, full disclosure, I also called it upset in the Giants series. So I've basically been picking against the Cubs, all right? And yeah, I don't know, Mark, like we might be on to something here because I'm a diehard Dodger fan, and I have been since the 70s. And, you know, Dodgers and Indians could be on a collision course in the World Series, but they both have some work left to do. Tonight, the Dodgers -110. The Cubs get so much respect from the betting market that, you know, you're only laying 10 cents with the Dodgers tonight. And it's a real real dichotomy with pitchers. We got old man Lackey that's been here, done this a million times, taking on a kid, making his first postseason start. But unlike Merritt, we know all about Urias, and this kid's the real deal. I'm interested to see what he deals tonight.
He is the real deal. He could also have this same psyche about him that Merritt has for Cleveland here, sort of unfazed, if you will, youngest baseball pitcher to ever make a start in the postseason here. He went up against the NL Central 5 times this year. He cashed 4 of those 5 times. He's cashed in 9 of his 11 starts when he's been favored this baseball season here. He's cashed 9 of his last 11 overall. I think he'll be loose as a goose in this game. Again, I think the pressure's in the Cubs. Here's a team that all of a sudden has been blanked back-to-back baseball games. games here. Lackey's ERA at home has been almost 2 runs lower than it has been on the road. He struggled a bit on the road here. Again, pressure on the Cubs. I think the Dodgers are the right side in this contest.
If you want to take the Cubs and you want to have something to make you feel a little bit better about this, Lackey 6-3 with a 1.75 ERA in 12 career games versus the Dodgers. Pretty sick numbers, but this is a new look Dodger team, Mark. So those numbers, I don't really know what those numbers mean. And what I like about the kid here is he got lit up early in the season when he got called up. He went to Wrigley. He got torched. He gave up 6 runs, but then he faced the Cubs again on August 27th, Mark. And what did the kid do? He struck out 8 of them in 6 innings, only gave up 2 runs and a Dodgers win. He's a confident kid.
He's very confident. A lot of ability here. There's a reason he made this roster. There's a reason he's making this start here tonight. He's got a world of ability here. And again, I think this game is being priced a lot like the Toronto game. Need factor here for the Cubs. That need factor brings this game in just around a pick.
And these guys have stayed under the number as well. The playoffs have been an under run. Although I'll tell you one thing, Mark, I know you like to read in between the lines and read the quotes, etc. So I'm reading about John Lackey, and Lackey was asked about Urias, and he said, hey, he's the youngest pitcher ever. And of course, you and I are old enough, Mark, that we're going to remember like it was yesterday when John Lackey made the start in Game 7 of the World Series for the Angels. And, that was a long time ago, man. But Lackey was a 24-year-old rookie taking on Bonds and the Giants and the powerhouse. And I swear, Lackey said last night, he goes, oh, your eyes will be fine. He goes, this kid doesn't know any better. I remember, like, he sounded like a capper bigging up the Dodgers. He's like, oh, he won't feel any pressure. I remember it was so much fun. And he goes, this kid's ready for this. I was thinking, well, come on, Lackey. You should be planting a little, you should be planting some doubt in the kid's head. Oh, it's a lot of pressure. You don't say about how good the kid's going to do.
No, you don't pat him on the back before the game starts.
I know. I was thinking, plant the seed, psychological warfare, man. Tell him, oh, I never felt so much pressure in my life. I was scared. You better not screw this up, kid. But
maybe it's a Lou Holtz thing where, Lou Holtz goes into the battles thinking his team has no chance whatsoever, throwing in the white towel. That could be that sort of an approach by Lackey, but I doubt it. I think Lackey's kind of in his own world.
Yeah, Lou Holtz was the best for that, eh, Mark? Remember, they'd be playing Army. Army had lost like 27 in a row or whatever. Notre Dame were like 42-point favorites, and Lou Holtz, shucks, I tell you, this is the best darn 0-8 football. I don't know how this team lost 8 games. This is the best team I've seen. Every team. Remember they used to get ripped for the soft skin. Hey, they're 2-9, Coach Navy. It's the best darn 2-9 team I ever seen on tape.
That's Lou Holtz.
Yeah. Every week.
It's a little bit of what Nick Saban's turning into, by the way, these days as well.
Poor Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz is sort of persona non grata. He's a victim of the Trump phenomenon, which he went to a banquet and started railing about immigrants and soccer. And he doesn't, he's tired of turning on the TV and seeing soccer instead of football. And unless you vote Donald Trump, it's only going to be soccer on TV. So it's not. Lou Holtz had a few too many scotches, I think, before he gave the speech,
Well, there's a reason also that Lou's not sitting next to Mark May on ESPN these days as well.
No, you're exactly right. But it was the trajectory. There were a couple of questionable comments. They basically realized, listen, he's getting old. He doesn't care anymore. And yeah, we're a season or two away from a serious meltdown on the air here. all right, Bears and Packers, speaking of meltdowns, I'm going to tell you, Mark, we all knew that every team that John Fox had been with in his second year, they had improved by at least 4 wins in the second year. That's not happening this year with the Chicago Bears.
It's not happening on the scoreboard here yet, Gabe, but boy, oh boy, look inside these numbers here. Surprisingly, this is a 1-win Bear team that has a top 10 ranked offense and a top 10 ranked defense. Their numbers are far superior to Green Bay's. If you put tape over the names of these two teams and look at what they've accomplished this year on the field, you'd swear the Bears would be the favorite in this football contest. But it's all name and reputation. It's Aaron Rodgers at home home off a loss. Aaron Rodgers against the division. Yada, yada, yada. You've got all these factors to the Green Bay Packers here. That's why they're this prohibitive favorite in the football game. I say beware of the Bears here tonight. They're playing a lot better than the scoreboard indicates.
Yeah, I like your enthusiasm for Aaron Rodgers. Yada, yada, yada. And I always take heat for ripping Rodgers. You're going to like this one. Feel free to use it in the playbook in future weeks, Mark. I'll be flattered. But I said the new Aaron Rodgers discount double check is, the other team gets a rebate for every interception and fumble that he has.
That's a great one. You'll be reading that in the playbook.
Yeah, yeah, it's the new Aaron Rodgers discount double check. Two interceptions. But how about this? As he wrote in the playbook, 17 games since Rodgers has thrown for 300 yards, man.
Name and reputation is all what it's about here. This Green Bay Packers football team is not even close to what they were expected to be and what they're being priced at these days. And you also take a look here at how they performed on Thursdays, the Green Bay Packers, against opponents that are off a loss. They're 1-8 straight up into the spread. They've really sucked on Thursdays in this type of a situation here. I see value in the Chicago Bears in this football game. I know I touted them very heavily at the Superbook seminar in Las Vegas that they would go over their win total. I'm having egg on my face right now at the moment, but I think that egg will turn to lemon meringue by the end of the season here, and I think the Bears will come close to those 8 or 8.5 wins.
Yeah, you know what? I've been on the Bears every week almost, Mark, and you're right. They're right there. They just can't win. That game against the Colts was so frustrating. They should have won. They dominated last week. Similar situation against Jacksonville. I think the Packers win the game and probably break the Bears' hearts, but it's closer than people think as well. Vikings and Eagles. Man, that Carson Wentz bandwagon's emptying pretty fast, isn't it?
Boy, it sure is.
Three weeks ago, everyone wanted to go hunting. Oh, isn't this cute? His girlfriend hunts. Oh, isn't this great? He brings his playbook on his dates with him. But poor guy, he goes, he's like Ken Bone. He was built into a hero, and then, just like that, people are tearing him apart. Now everyone's ripping Carson Wentz.
Well, that's what two losses will do in Philadelphia for you. You remember Santa Claus and Christmas. It's that all over again for Carson Wentz. Look down this Philadelphia Eagles schedule here. Every team they have on the docket from here to the end of the season can make the playoffs this year. It's not going to be an easy road for this team or this quarterback from here on out. And they're playing the best undefeated team in the National Football League right now against a coach that just destroys the point spread in Mike Zimmer here. I think it's a real tough situation for Philadelphia again here on Sunday.
Yeah, we talk about destroying the point spread. The Vikings have covered 19 of the last 21 football games that they played. That's regular season and playoff games. They're 21-4 against the spread versus non-NFC North teams. They're just, as you wrote, Mark, and we've been talking about on a weekly basis, Zimmer right now 29-9 against the spread in the NFL. But most of those nine losses, like seven of those nine losses, came early in his career with Minnesota. So since then, we've been on this 19-2 run and 21-4 run, basically.
You talk about being on fire. We said in the newsletter, he's a flamethrower right now, is Mike Zimmer, Minnesota. It'd be very, very difficult to step in front of him until he loses to the spread. He hasn't done that yet this year. The other side of the coin is undefeated teams off a bye week in the NFL are terrific. That's exactly the role they'll be in this particular week. I think Philadelphia doing a lot of looking over back behind their shoulders to find out what was good in the past, because it's not going to be so good looking forward.
Yeah, and it's revenge and quarterback week this week. Sam Bradford goes back to Philadelphia, and Brock Osweiler goes to Denver.
That's a great slant with Bradford going back to Philadelphia, the team that didn't want him.
Exactly, and Bradford's playing the best football in his career. He hasn't played this good since he's been in Norman. All right, we've only got 1 minute left here, unfortunately, Mark. BYU and Boise's the college game I'll throw your way here right now. Cougars winning football games, always dramatic, always stressful, but these guys play the toughest schedule in the nation by far. BYU 7-1 against the spread last 8 when getting 10 or less. Jeremy McNichols versus Jamal Williams, epic running back matchup. Boise State take Houston's place as that team, that sleeper, maybe they can get in, but I don't think so. I don't think their schedule is tough enough. I don't want to lay the 7 here, but it's a revenge spot. What's your take?
I wouldn't lay the 7 here either here, Gabe. But BYU is a gutty football team. They've cashed a lot more than they haven't this year, but they're not winning the games where it counts in the stats. They've been outyarded 5 of their 7 games this season. That always shows up against good teams. I think Boise will be motivated on TV Friday night to, like you say, establish themselves as being the new Houston Cougar football team to break through and crash the party.
All right. Always a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure, Gabe. Be good. Enjoy the games.
Check out playbook.com, available on your mobile device, Google Store, and Android. All right. Quick break. Joe Lisi steps up and in. Cam Stewart on deck. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Hey, we're fired up in the studio today. All right. So Cam Stewart's going to join me in a couple of minutes. Always a pleasure with Mark Lawrence. Let's bring in a man who's buddies with Mark Lawrence, and he's buddies with me, too. Joe Lisi joins us. GoForTheTwo.com. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Gabe. How are you? Looking forward to a great week in college football.
Yeah, week 8 of college football. We got one NFL game. You and I normally don't talk NFL football, but we got one game that we will talk about in a couple of moments. But let's talk some college ball. Before we get into some games, a little general talk. I was wondering today, I actually looked it up. I'm thinking, when do these playoff rankings come out? Remember in the old days, it used to be after like week 6, wasn't it? The BCS rankings. So these don't come out until November the 1st. I looked it up, Joe. November the 1st. So it's going to be like week 10 by the time they come out.
It's unreal, Gabe. I mean, they make it later and later because they know they have more key games on tap, so they want to make certain that they have the top 4 teams in the country. So we'll see how it plays out in a couple of weeks.
You know, though, I almost get where they're going with this because, let's be honest, the first 4 weeks almost don't count, right? It's only been like the last 2-3 weeks the teams are starting to play real opponents. Alabama rolling along, and these guys are just dangerous as hell, man. Like, I used to be a real big Nick Saban basher and just sort of call him Nick Satan all the time. And Lane Kiffin, you know, I've ripped Lane Kiffin plenty over the years, but man, they're just so freaking good and dominant. We've got Ohio State and Clemson. Both got legitimate scares. Clemson are lucky the kid shanked a 33-yard field goal. Ohio State showed their pedigree and won in a hostile environment. The Washington Huskies are lurking. Michigan control their own destiny, as does the Texas A&M Aggies, a team that you circled coming into the year. So let's start off with Texas A&M and Alabama. Alabama are now 18-point favorites in this game. Total's 58. The bettors, Joe, they like the Tide, man, because the Tide were minus 16.5. Now it's minus 18.
Yeah, I still love Texas A&M. I said it at the start of the year in June that this was the best team in the SEC West and for the SEC for that matter. I'm sticking with my guns. I think they have the personnel to challenge Alabama in this matchup. And I look for Trevor Knight in the passing attack with those wide receivers to stretch Alabama's defense vertically early on. This is an offense that's averaging 40 points per game. They're rushing for 274 yards on the ground and passing for 254 yards through the air, but they have the wide receiver core led by Christian Kirk to stretch that secondary early, which will open up running lanes for Travion Williams and Trevor Knight later in that matchup. And I love this defense led by Myles Garrett. They're only giving up 19 points per game. They have 20 sacks on the year, but their third down defense is phenomenal, allowing only 34% on third down conversions. And look for safety Armani Watts to be the X factor. Look for him to spy Jalen Hurts in his back. I think that's the difference, and Texas A&M wins this game outright, 30-28. You heard it here first.
Wow, a bold outright prediction as 18-point underdogs, man. They're going to be real big on the money line. No money line posted yet, but we're going to be talking like in a 10-1 range for the Aggies, plus 750 or so. You know, I think there's going to be some points put up on the board in this football game. I love everything you just said about the Aggies. I agree with a lot of it. They are a very, very good football team, but I wonder about the physicality. Can they bang for 60 minutes, i.e. 4 hours of real time, with these kids from Alabama that are basically an NFL team?
If you watch that game last year, Gabe, I mean, they had three interceptions by Kyle Allen that were returned for interceptions for touchdowns, and they still, in the fourth quarter, had the football down 28-20 with a chance to tie. If you watch that ball game, it was their defense in the second half that made adjustments, and John Chavis is one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. He's had 2 weeks of preparation. To me, that's an added factor as well, why I love the Aggies in this matchup.
I can't disagree with the job that Chavis has done, but I'd be remiss of us. I'll play devil's advocate and big up Alabama as if they need to be bigged up. But how about this, Joe? Their defense and special teams have combined to score 11 touchdowns this year. There's some college football teams that don't have 11 touchdown total. These guys, like, not on offense. So it's just defense, special teams. They've scored 66 points.
That's what Alabama does. They're known for defense and scoring and creating turnovers in big ball games. Nick Saban does it better than anybody, and defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt has that defense dialed in. You can't take away from what they did. They are the top team in the country, but I think they fall this weekend in Tuscaloosa.
Trevor Knight's played them before, though, and he's not going to be intimidated. He's actually played well, too, against Bama. He's not going to be intimidated by them. Jalen Hurts is a key. I think this kid's real good. He brings that extra dynamic element to the table with his mobility. And one weakness that I will point out, although the SEC is it's a higher scoring conference nowadays than it used to be. It's not your granddaddy's SEC anymore. The Aggies are allowing quarterbacks to complete over 60% of their passes, Joe, over the last four games.
Yeah, I mean, their back end is a little bit weaker this year in terms of pass coverage, but they're only giving up about 140 rushing yards per game on the road. So I like this team overall. They still have three quality victories on their resume. They knocked off UCLA first game of the year. That was a ranked opponent. They knocked off Arkansas when Arkansas was unbeaten and ranked. And they knocked off Tennessee, an unbeaten ranked opponent, top 10. They knocked off Arkansas and Tennessee before Alabama did. So give credit to this defense. They step up in big ball games, bend but don't break, and they play very good red zone defense. That's what I like heading into this matchup in Tuscaloosa.
Joe's calling an outright 30-28 upset victory, and for the record, for you bettors out there, it's dangerous to get in front of Bama, but 18 points is a lot, and Kevin Sumlin is 6-1 against the spread as a conference underdog of 8 points or more in the SEC. All right, let's talk about BYU and Boise. I briefly hit this game with Mark Lawrence, so we won't spend too much time on this game. But Boise State are undefeated right now. I'm looking at their schedule. Even if they run the table, they wouldn't get my vote to be in the Final Four.
No, I mean, I like what Boise State represents, but if they're undefeated at the end of the year, I would look to a team in the Power 5 conference that has possibly one loss. But I like Boise State in this matchup. They're coming off a methodical 28-23 victory over Colorado. They're passing for 300 yards a game and rushing for 166 yards on the ground. But if you look at BYU's secondary, they're giving up 270 passing yards per game. I expect Brett Rippon at home to exploit that Cougars secondary, and I think Boise State breaks out and covers this number in a big way. BYU's played very tough, but you looked at Mississippi State last week. They were able to exploit that secondary. Boise State and Jeremy Nichols on the ground are a dynamic duo, and they get a double-digit victory over the Cougars this weekend.
Everyone talks about Dalvin Cook and Fournette and McCaffrey and all these other guys, but here's two good, pretty good, darn good running backs, man, that play. You know, people, they're going to forget about the state of Utah, basically, and especially the state of Idaho. So you're going to be hard pressed to find two running backs better than Jamal Williams and McNichols, aren't you, Joe? I mean, these guys are bangers, both NFL caliber running backs.
Yeah, without a doubt. They are tough inside runners too, Gabe. They don't do it on the edge. They move it between the tackles. That's something that you have to give them credit for. Smaller school backs, but they are very productive in their college careers.
Joe, last week I told you West Virginia, we're going to go into Lubbock and they were going to beat were going to beat Texas Tech. I thought that. I'm kicking myself for taking the over in the game. We fell short because never in a million years did I think that West Virginia would only hold that Red Raider offense to 17 points on the road. But they kicked the snot out of those guys on their home field. West Virginia is suddenly a trendy team right now. Last week, nobody believed in them going on the road. This week, suddenly they're laying 6 points. I think it's an overreaction. I think this game with TCU comes right down to the wire. I think TCU have better athletes than West Virginia does. This is a good West Virginia team, but their schedule's tough. It's going to catch up to them. They're, you know, West Virginia's not going to the playoffs either. I know some people are, oh, maybe this and that. They're not the best team in the Big 12, in my opinion. I like the plus 6 here in a close game. I think West Virginia could win, but I don't want to lay 6.
Yeah, I agree with you. You look at this matchup in Fort Worth. TCU won 40-10. Trevon Boykin had a dynamic game. His mobility was the difference in that matchup. Kenny Hill, the same type of quarterback. They're averaging 362 passing yards per game. You look at West Virginia's secondary. They're allowing 250 yards through the air. And secondly, you look at West Virginia's sack total. 5 games, 9 total sacks. I think Kenny Hill will have time to pick apart that secondary. And I like TCU to get the victory on the road in Morgantown. These games are traditionally close, and I like Gary Patterson as a head coach coming off a bye, extra week of preparation. I like the Horned Frogs in this matchup.
Yeah, it's a great point that you talk about the games always being close. You're right, man. These games, three to last four games have been decided by a couple of points between these two teams. All right, we got to be quick on the way out here, but you're a Dolphin fan. I'm a Bills fan. Bills are -3. Bills on a 4-game win streak and kicking some serious ass. Are the Dolphins for real after that win last week, or was that just a fluke? Who do you like?
Absolutely not. Bills in a domination. Don't buy the hype. Bills have a more complete team. Can't buy Tannehill in any spot. Buffalo rolls with Tyrod Taylor.
All right. We take a quick break, and even a Dolphin fan. And I noticed that graphic says Bills 4-3. They're 4-2. 4-2, guys. They didn't lose yet. What, you guys, so we got Patriot. Is that Reed in there? The Patriot fan? Is that Luke, a Chief fan? Worried about the Bills taking your playoff spot this year? Going to be 5-2 coming up next. Thanks, Joe.
Gabe, love the show.
All right, the show in the background. All right, Cam Stewart joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, allegations and insults are fast and they're flying around fast and furious here.
It's like the debate tonight.
I don't even know how the argument started, basically, but we were just picking on Drew over here.
Well, he thinks Clemson's great. Yeah, you barely beat Troy.
Oh, that's
Troy.
It. Yeah.
Clemson.
So, yeah, so Drew, like, seems to be offended by the fact that I told him that if Ohio State and Michigan are both undefeated and they play the final game of the season.
And it's tight.
And it's an epic 35-34 game. They're both getting in.
I agree.
In. Like, they can still both get in. He's like, no. Clemson.
Clemson. You almost lost to Troy, and you should have lost to NC State if they had a kicker. Boo.
Yeah, and we won't even get into how Clemson players do in the NFL after. See, the people are laughing in the hallway even. Except I know you're not laughing with us.
But that's okay. We'll take it.
Yeah. See,
we'll
it's funny
it.
How that worked, though. You hear?
I know. Perfect. Some guy from the Fight Network cracked a joke, and we're the beneficiaries.
Yeah, everyone liked that one.
I like it.
We go down the list. Like C.J. Spiller. Remember Doug Marrone said, yeah, we're going to give the ball to C.J. Spiller until he pukes. We gave him the ball 6 times in a row. He puked.
He puked.
We had to take him out of the game. we can go down the list. How's Sammy Watkins doing?
He's actually one of the success stories.
Oh, he's soft, man. Lindsay Lohan. Tougher than he is. I like that one. That one got a chuckle.
I love it.
Johnny over here is loving that one.
Johnny's the best.
Yeah, Johnny's good. How come Johnny doesn't work more of the show? Mikey's good too. Mikey doesn't talk
Mikey,
too much.
No, he's good.
Mike doesn't talk too
Johnny
much.
Does the cam. So what are we talking about, Morency?
All right, so baseball, Blue Jays, Indians. Ooh, I think the Jays win, but 80 cents, man.
Morency, I can't.
You lay the run line,
Morency,
or what are you going
to
do?
I can't lie to you. We've been friends for a long time. I've actually hit every game in this series. Like I told you, remember, I got to take the Jays not to go out. This is typical Toronto. I wouldn't be surprised if they won 3 and then lost in game 7. That seems like a Blue Jay thing to do. I don't want to lay it either. So I'm going to either take the Jays minus one and minus one and a half because I believe they get to this kid. Apparently, Merritt, this kid pitching for the Indians, yeah, he's a prospect and all. Big stage. I'm not sure if he's ready for it. And I think the Jays are going to get to him often, early and often.
So would you rather lay the 80 cents or the run line?
I would rather run line. I'm confident they win the game by two or more.
Yeah, I think they get it done. And then the pressure is going to be
on Cleveland, on Chief Wahoo, man.
Yep.
We disagree on the other game.
What happened with that lawsuit? You didn't hear about that?
Oh, yeah. Great lawsuit. So some guy's coming up there saying, oh, okay, we're going to call them the Cleveland team. I'm sure that's going to work for the guy at TBS. Like, honest to God, I'm from Mississauga where we're called the Chiefs, the Tomahawks. Every team I played for the Cree, the Iroquois, Algonquin, Navajo, man. I was proud and laced them up for the Blackhawks and Braves. Every single team from our city has a native representative. And I'll tell you, I wore it with pride. Morenci, and I love it. The only reason they're mad is because Chief Wahoo's a bad interpretation of the logo. Do you not agree?
Yeah, that sounds too good. I can't follow up with anything. It must be the blazer. It makes them smarter or something.
I don't know what's going on here.
Or you come in here talking about chicken wings and the deal on steak you got. You put a blazer on and suddenly
it's hot roster. It's hot in that booth.
Right.
Anyway, no, let's just say, Morenci, the lawsuit didn't go very far.
What I like good is work. The fact that Bomani Jones wore a Cleveland Caucasians jersey on ESPN.
Yeah.
Basically a spinoff. Making a white guy look as crackerish as possible. And ESPN made him take it off.
Yeah. Well, we had this debate. I told him where I'm from, the city's a lot of native names. Anyway, yeah, I'm going on a show on Friday.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. We've had this debate
yeah,
before.
Yeah, don't bring good. It up this week.
No,
yeah,
I don't want to get him too angry.
If you want to keep going back on the show,
yeah, I actually enjoy
stay
my
away from the native talk on ESPN.
I enjoy my appearances. Say.
And probably here as well. Let's move on.
Okay.
Cubs and Dodgers.
I'm going with the Cubs. I think Lackey's going to get it
Why
done.
Wouldn't you? Dodgers in a play, man.
Are they, Morenci?
See,
are
now they? Now I'll say you're a blazer, and now like you're all, you know.
Now you're saying I'm not smart. I just had my 2 minutes of shit to fame. Now I'm back to being dumb. No, I'm taking the Cubs. Lackey, playoff experience, sign me up. I know the Dodgers are hot, but Urias, that young stud, is going to get hit tonight. Give me the Chicago baseball Cubs.
Now I'm going, I am a Dodger fan.
So, I know you are, Morenci.
Yeah, somewhat. But I don't know. I'm not really biased, though. I'm a neutral observer.
Don't you find the line to be interesting at a pick? Wouldn't you
I think we're getting value at a red-hot Dodgers team right now.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. We'll see what happens there.
All right. But I tell you, all these games keep going under the number in both. It's funny, Cam. I haven't won a single game in this Jay series. And the reason I'm not irate, because I've had the under
totals,
all four
exactly.
games. So I've split.
I will say this, Gabe. I think there's actually potential for the over in the Cubs game tonight.
Yeah, I know.
With these pitchers?
There's potential, but these
will
games
get there.
Keep going under the number. All right, let's talk some NFL football.
Love it.
Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles. I just briefly discussed this. Sam Bradford got kicked to the curb for the kid from North Dakota State. Sam Bradford's carving up the National Football League like Cam carves a Thanksgiving turkey. And the Minnesota Vikings are only 2-point favorites on the road. Is this a trap?
Well, let's go to the Cam. Morenci, we've been there before. How many times have I got caught on that hook? I'm not a smart fish. You know, the fisherman puts it in, and I'm biting. I'm always biting. I'm biting again. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles. I hope it goes up to 3. I love the situation. Hey, I will bring you up some points, Morenci. The Vikings covered 11 in a row. Every streak comes down to an end. I'm going against my old advice about the roulette wheel.
Yeah, I know.
No. It's just a bad
spot.
They're
19-2 against the spread in the last 21 games.
I know. Great points.
They're 21-4 against the spread versus non-NFC division teams.
Impressive.
But
Eagles, give me the Eagles.
But you know, how about put this in your pipe? You like this?
Okay.
How about you smoke?
I'll smoke
this. Yeah, yeah, smoke this.
Yeah.
Smoke on the water. Smoke this. Vikings 1-5 straight up in last 6 games off a bye.
Ooh, that's something I will put in the pipe and smoke.
Yeah. But I'm actually,
Morenci,
I didn't
this
even
line.
Need to do this. Yeah. And I when I wrote this, this is actually for Mark Lawrence. It wasn't even for for you.
Yep.
But one of your favorite lines is, and I said, Vikings are one and read what I said. Read the last line here.
Vikings are 1-5 straight up and ATS last 6 off bye, but who cares? That was then.
Yeah. As you said, who cares?
Oh, yeah. Who cares?
You're right, man. The Bradford's going to carve them up. The Eagles are going down.
I got a bet with
Minnesota
Denver, too.
Wins.
He's got the Vikings, too.
He says you owe him a bunch of coffees.
Yeah, that's not true. I paid him up to every single one. I did eat half of his pork today. He left, gave me some leftovers. Fantastic.
I really wish,
love that
really
shake
wish
and bake.
He would have finished that with a pork sandwich as opposed to you ate some of his pork.
Sorry. Today. I ate some of his pork chops with noodles. They were delicious. Thank you.
See, Johnny liked that one. Johnny, you like the Stern Show, eh, Johnny? You like the lowbrow stuff, huh? Hey, how about this one? Let's see if we agree on this. Chargers and Falcons. You're a Seahawks fan. I told everyone to take the Falcons on
good
the
call.
Money line last week, but we cashed the ticket. Could have won a money line.
Should have.
Richard Sherman was riding Julio Jones like an NBA player rides a Kardashian, and no penalty call.
It was brutal.
No penalty call.
I'm a Seahawks fan.
But I tell you what, how do we not take San Diego plus the 6, Cam? Who do you like?
See, Morenci, I like where you're coming back with that. That's why is that line not 7? Give me a piece of the bolts. I love the situation. I'm going to take the points with San Diego. Why do you like them? You just think a letdown spot for Atlanta?
San Diego, all their games, they haven't lost by more than 4-6. They lost by 6 points once, but other than that, every game is close. These games, whoever has the ball last.
Yep.
And I don't. I've been making a living for years off of San Diego Charger teasers, man. Take the Chargers and the over on a teaser. The back door is always open with these guys. All right, NHL hockey, Cam. And me and Cam will talk more NFL football. I'm Renzi Unfiltered tonight. We break it down Survivor style.
We were right staying away from old Pittsburgh last week. I told you to stay away.
And I was happy that many of you in the league that I was in took them.
I know, it was awesome.
It's getting tricky, though. Getting tricky. NHL hockey tonight. Yep. Battle of big-time rookies with this Lanny guy, the Finnish kid on the Jets, and Austin Matthews in the Leafs. I like the Jets minus the price, and I think it's a higher scoring game, Ken.
I agree, Morenci. We're in a total agreement here. I love the NHL card tonight. Give me the Winnipeg Jets. Give me the over 5.5. I will take the New York Hockey Rangers and the under. Keep digging. 5.5 under, because the Rangers are going to win 3-1 or 4-1 tonight against the Red Wings.
You know, one thing I've noticed, though, Cam, a lot of goals being scored in the National Hockey League so far this year. Another thing, if you follow my hockey picks, we've gone like 3-0, 4-1, 0-3, and 0-4. Cam, last night I had over, and I don't like betting on the overs in most sports besides basketball, really, and football. But, you know, the Oilers, there's so many goals in a game. 3-2, empty net. No, hit the post. 0.4 seconds left. Skinner, you screwed up. Could have scored. poor Luke can't afford his haddock now.
I know.
He's going to have to eat trout. Poor Luke in master control can't eat the big-time fish anymore.
I think halibut's the expensive one, right? Haddock's the cheap one that I go for, that we go
for.
No,
trout.
Trout?
Trout's the cheap.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. All right, we're out.
Halibut's
plays of the day coming up next. It's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with the Toronto Blue Jays. We're moving in on first pitch of this baseball game. The number keeps climbing right now. I like the Jays better when it was 65.70 last night, as high as 85.90 at some spots. But the Jays are going to win. You can think about the run line. I'm going to take the Jays, and I'm going to ride the under, man. Estrada's a stud, and even though Merritt is a AAA dude, basically the Jays don't really know anything about him. So I'm going to keep riding in the under. Every game's gone under. We're going to ride it. We've been riding the Los Angeles Dodgers throughout the playoffs, and we've pretty much been betting against the Cubs in the playoffs, and it's starting to pay dividends, and it's going to pay dividends again tonight. Lackey's going down. Urias is going to get it done for the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to lay the 10 cents with the Dodgers. We're going to go under the number here. Yeah, a little low at 7, but these games just keep going under the number, man, so we're going to ride the wave. The Toronto Maple Leafs are visiting the Winnipeg Jets, a battle of superstar rookies. Austin Matthews and this Lanny kid from Finland. I think Lanny wins the battle tonight. Matthews might get a couple of points. The Jets win the game, and it goes over 5.5. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be mine and yours.